Thank you for tuning in to the Read Together UMCNA podcast. Hopefully, these meditations offered by your fellow readers are giving you new insights into the scripture for each week. Don't forget to check out the Read Together UMCNA Facebook page for more thought-provoking observations. We encourage our readers to post their thoughts and comment on the ideas posted by others. Can you recall a time when you were separated from what is comfortable and familiar? Using our readings from Isaiah this week, Reverend Emily Freeman Penfield reminds us that even when we're adrift in a sea of loneliness or doubt, we can never be completely lost. We belong to the God who created us.
Isaiah 64, 1 through 8. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down the mountains, quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do what is right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, blow us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. We are all the work of your hand.
What am I going to do with you? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. You're going to have to suffer the consequences. These are all phrases that you might hear from a frustrated parent whose child has done wrong, disobeyed, or followed the wrong path. These are also phrases that summarize the first part of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah's prophecy is divided into three parts. Chapters 1 through 39 are the doom and gloom chapters. They speak to Israel's disobedience. The northern and southern kingdoms are not behaving as God's kingdom dwellers. They have turned to other gods. They are not caring for each other, and they have turned from God's gifts, leaving them vulnerable. In the 1700s BC, the Assyrians come into the northern kingdom and take over. Still not fazed by this consequence, the southern kingdom, Judah, with capital city Jerusalem, doesn't get it together and is captured by Babylon and taken into exile in 587 BC. While the Israelites are in captivity in Babylon, it is a lonely and desperate time. They are living among strangers, people with another culture, languages, food, rituals. Maybe they are used as slaves, as the lowest class of people. They have lost their home and their perspective as God's chosen people. The Israelites have lost their independence and have to depend on the enemy. It is a hopeless situation. How long will they be there? Babies are born, but into a strange land with unfamiliar ways. How do they teach their children who they are when they aren't quite sure themselves? Have you ever been here in exile, taken away physically, emotionally, or spiritually from your roots? set in an unfamiliar and scary place. Have you ever been dependent on someone or something you didn't trust or didn't understand? Have you ever felt left, deserted, speaking a different language or approaching life from a totally different direction? When was the last time that you were in a situation where you didn't know where to turn? We all have these experiences, and hopefully they don't last very long. But when this time is extended, whether it's a time of grief, illness, depression, hopelessness can cover you, and you can feel even more trapped. Have you ever had a fight or falling out with your spouse, a coworker, or good friend, and you just felt lonely and without anyone to talk to? Have you ever been bullied at school or work, in a business transaction, and it just took the wind out of you? And then there are those in our world who are truly in exile, those living in refugee camps, forced from their homes to live oppressed and in the worst poverty and conditions possible. Where is God, we wonder? Where is God, we call out? 2 Isaiah, which is chapters 40 through 55, brings a word of consolation. Yes, you are in exile. Yes, your cities and towns are in ruin. Yes, your culture and people are in danger of being snuffed out. But the Lord will comfort you, come to you, and redeem this mess. About 50 years after the Babylonians took thousands of Israelites into captivity, they themselves were captured by the Persians. Israel was set free and allowed to go back. 2 Isaiah prophesies these happenings. God will come to you and build you up again, redeem you, make you new. God created you in the first place, Israel, and will not let you be completely lost. Don't fear. You belong to God. When you pass through the waters, through the rivers, God will be there. They will not overwhelm you. When you are walking through fire or putting out fires, God will keep you from burning. Israel, you are precious to God who has given others for you. God will pull you together into what you were created to be, children of God, chosen to be the light of the world. These are good words. I have called you by name. You are mine. They remind me of when I was little and would sit on my mom's lap in the rocking chair. She would sing a song about how much she loved me right into my ear. It was the best place in the world. When I was bigger and too large for her lap, I would on occasion still ask to sit with her in the rocking chair so she could sing. When my girls were babies, I would sing love songs to them, wanting them to experience that same assurance I had. Now that I'm grown and too big for anyone's lap, I still need to know that I am loved, that the wrongs I have wronged, the places of sadness and depression I fall into, the messes we all experience as humans, are not complete exile. And sometimes we do have to suffer the consequences, but that's not the end of the story. God is saying, I made you. I know you. You are mine. It's not always in a rocking chair with a sweet song. Sometimes it comes abruptly, in surprising ways. Strangers who are put in our paths of bringing good news, or animals who comfort us. There may be telephone calls, texts, or notes in the mail that a friend sends just to reach out and touch us. The people we surround ourselves with can be like God's hands and feet for us, or God's lap. I found this in many of the small groups I've been in, whether they were a mission trip or a Bible study. The close relationships, accountability, and listening ears are such a gift. In this world that is pushing on us, challenging our beliefs, always in flux, it is good to know that you belong somewhere just as you are. No membership fees, no hazing or test in order to get in. God, our Creator, our ultimate parent, is holding out open arms, calling us to climb up into the biggest lap we can imagine and singing to us, "Beloved, you are mine. Thanks be to God."
Great mystery, in whom we live and move and have our being and our breathing. God, we know through Jesus. We despair when you seem so far away. When we receive and inflict hurt, when we see the hurt endured and experienced by others in this world. Yet, we delight when you seem so close through the beauty of the earth, taste of good food, the love of others, just getting to wake up for another day. We live in the mix of more than we understand. We live most days resistant to the reality there is more to us and more to you than we sometimes dare believe. Great life giver, life sustainer, even great life taker, great father's arms, great mother's lap. We thank you for the beyond our own doing grace to go on after the un-go-on-afterable, to take the untakeable, to forgive and be forgiven for the unforgivable. In a time that many want to reject and build walls, you raise up in us the holy craziness to build bridges and open doors to love and be loved by your love that never lets us go.